Where'd you get those shoes? Easy. They're from DSW. Because DSW has the exact right shoes for whatever you're into right now. You know, like the sneakers that make office hours feel like happy hour. The boots that turn grocery aisles into runways. And all the styles that show off the many sides of you, from daydreamer to multitasker and everything in between. Because you do it all in really great shoes. Find a shoe for every you at your DSW store or DSW.com.
It's a Graybar Sports Open Line right here on KMOX. We're coming up on one of the best sports days of the year, coming up on Sunday. It is Conference Championship Day in the NFL, as we are going to have two really good games, especially the AFC game, but the NFC game, Commanders and Eagles. And then, as you'll hear right here on KMOX, St. Louis is home for Chiefs football. The Chiefs and Bills are going to match up, and the winners of those games will go on to match up against each other in the Super Bowl. Right now, very happy to welcome on to the program. He is Brett Coleman, creator of The Film Room on YouTube, also part of the Bootleg Football Podcast. You follow him on Twitter at Brett Coleman, K-O-L-L-M-A-N-N. Brett, thanks so much for taking some time with us today. How are you?
I'm doing great. Thank you for having me for, the seventh straight AFC championship for the Chiefs?
Yeah, they keep getting there, and they are favored in this game. Do you like them in the contest against Buffalo?
I do, and I know a lot of people are going to, you know, look back to the regular season matchup against Buffalo, and, you know, they're going to look at just overall how the Chiefs look this year, and even though they had a dominant win-loss record, they didn't look to be a dominant team as far as point differential goes. But if I'm looking at specifically how the Chiefs match up against the Bills in round two, I think it's actually a, I don't want to say favorable matchup, but it's a better matchup than people think it is. Getting Jalen Watson back is huge because they're such a heavy man coverage team on third down, and the Bills aren't really terrific against man coverage to begin with. But Jalen coming off a game where he allowed, you know, 8 total yards last week, you know, he seems to be back and rocking and rolling. So I kind of feel like looking at the matchup for the Chiefs defense against the Bills offense, it's actually kind of favorable.
What have you seen from the Chiefs? Because they went through most of the season playing close game after close game after close game. And then as they got into the final months of the season, they were a little bit more dominant against the Browns, the Texans, and the Steelers. The final three games where their starters played. And then they looked, you know, the Houston game in the postseason, they were able to pull away and do enough, obviously, in that game. It feels like they flipped some sort of switch. As you look at them on film, what have you seen that they've changed?
I would say the three biggest problems with the Chiefs during the regular season was A, dealing with injuries to the receiving core. And I really don't think that Travis was all the way, ready to go until about halfway through the season, because he certainly had a pretty fun summer. He kind of got activated as the year went on and kind of looked like a little bit more like his former self. But, you know, you're dealing with injuries to Hollywood, you're dealing with injuries to Rashee. They're trying to bring along a rookie receiver who all of a sudden gets thrust into a larger role than he was used to. And, you know, you have Travis taking a little while to get back into looking like Travis. You also have arguably the worst offensive tackle tandem in the entire NFL for most of the year until they figured out that Joe Tooney is actually their best one. And, you know, defensively, again, when you lose your best option at CB2 for a majority of the year, they were really struggling to run the style of defense that they like to run. Not to mention, you know, if your best edge rusher is actually a defensive tackle in Chris Jones, and it was basically Chris Jones with like a side dish of Karlaftis versus the world as a pass rush, like you can kind of see why this team, even though they were winning, they did have significant issues. Now you look at them again, Jalen's back, so their secondary is more capable of playing the style they want to. They're getting weapons back. Travis is back to being Travis. Tooney has kind of, I don't want to say fixed, but alleviated their issues at tackle. They've done a remarkable job of staying afloat while also trying to work out their problems. And now the majority of their problems are worked out. And so there's kind of nothing left to complain about.
So for those of us who watch the games, it certainly feels like, even if you're rooting for the Chiefs, it feels like the Chiefs get a lot of calls. And then today, Patrick Mahomes says, no, the referees are calling the game down the middle. They're not giving the Chiefs any extra calls. I'm not saying the Chiefs are doing, the referees are doing it on purpose, but what's your reaction when you hear Mahomes say that he feels like that the referees have not gifted them any calls this year?
I mean, I kind of expect him to say that, yeah. So I don't really hold that against him, because that's just, of course, the answer he's going to give. I'll say this. I grew up a Texans fan. I feel like if I was going to look at that game objectively and take my fan glasses off, they did not win because of the refs. They won because the Texans special teams were terrible and they gave up 8 sacks and they couldn't protect C.J. Stroud. Anybody who says the only reason the Chiefs won that game is because of the refs, either A, just wasn't paying attention, or B, is just tired of the Chiefs. And so if I, a Texans fan, am saying that the refs were not the issue, right? Now, the thing that I had an issue with was the games that Pat plays, you know, when he's kind of running around and, you know, slowing down on the sidelines so that, you know, contact gets initiated and then taking a dive. Like, I really hate that. And it's because Pat's too good for that. Like, you're not James Harden. You know, like, I need you to be the face of the league, and the face of the league doesn't take dives. And I know Chiefs fans are going to say, well, Josh Allen does it all the time. You're right. And I hate it when he does that too. I don't think that diving should be part of the culture of the NFL. I really do think the league kind of needs to legislate that out. And I also think, you know, when it comes to these kind of bang, bang, roughing the passer calls where a quarterback is running around and then they dive at the last second and, you know, they're going low and the defender's going low and there's a hit to the helmet, we need to have some sort of hard line definition in there of, hey, if a quarterback is running around and he is a runner and then he slides at the last possible moment and the defender is within 2 steps and he's making an actual effort to hit where the core of the quarterback used to be, we can't penalize that, right? We have to incentivize quarterbacks to protect themselves and get down quicker, because we can't just leave it up to the defenders to not be wrong, or else you end up with, you know, Trevor Lawrence type situations. So for me, again, I know there's a long answer. The refs were not the reason Houston lost. I really hated the dive, and the league has to do something with the rules to take that out of the game, because ultimately it's going to lead to Mahomes getting hurt if guys think, well, we're going to get flagged anyway, I might as well tee off. So it's in his interest to stay healthy by not doing that.
NFL analyst Brett Coleman continuing to join us. NFC Championship game, a lot of people surprised that Washington is in there. Obviously, Jaden Daniels has been incredible in the postseason. The Eagles, they're the team that's supposed to be here and supposed to be in this spot. For the Commanders to have a chance against Philadelphia, does it largely rest on Jaden Daniels being able to go out there and once again be spectacular?
You know, this is going to be a really, really hard matchup, specifically for the Washington offense against this Philly defense. And I know they put up a bunch of points last time, but the key difference here is Sam Cosmi, who's Washington's best offensive lineman. He's a guard. He just tore his ACL in the last game. And the reason why that matters, and not to get too deep into scheme here, but I trust your audience to follow me on this one. So Vic Fangio kind of diverted from the type of defense that he normally likes to call in the first two matchups. He played a lot of cover three and a lot of cover one. That means they're dropping a safety down in the box, because when you have a mobile quarterback like Jaden Daniels, that kind of evens up the numbers in the run game and it gives the offense an advantage. So you bring that safety down, you give the defense a numerical advantage back, and they can play the run that way. However, when you're talking about an offensive line that loses its best player in Sam Cosmi, and you got to block Jalen Carter with a backup right guard, I think Vic Fangio is going to, you know, kind of go back to the style that he's played traditionally, with a lot of too high safety looks and having kind of safe coverage structures on the back end, and trusting that his defensive line is going to be able to stop the run with even numbers, because they just can't block Jalen Carter. He's kind of a force multiplier there. And once they do that, there's not really another answer that the Commanders have. Because when they play these quarters coverages and quarter-quarter half coverages, You've got a safety over the top of Terry. You're playing four over three on the other side, so you can't throw the screen game. And Washington just doesn't really have the answers for that. They can try to run the ball. I assume they're going to try to run the ball. But again, with a banged up offensive line against that Eagles D line, I don't think that's going to work either. So there's just kind of the potential for this game to snowball, especially when you look at roster against roster and you realize that other than quarterback, there is literally no position group on the Commanders team that is better than the Eagles. It's literally just quarterback. And for me, that's a recipe for disaster here.
Do the Eagles get the credit they deserve? Because it feels like they are as smart as any organization in football. I guess we could take issue with their head coach, Nick Sirianni, at times, but from an organizational standpoint, they do so many smart things. They find really good players. And in this era right now where we're so stuck talking about Kansas City and Buffalo and Baltimore, it feels like we don't talk about the Eagles maybe as much as we should.
And I kind of think that that's it's fatigue isn't the right word, but I almost feel like people don't take them seriously because of the up and down play of Jalen Hurts, right? Which is, I think, is an entirely different conversation. And I feel like people always kind of revert, you know, when talking about the playoffs and who the true contenders are, they always revert to just, well, who's the best quarterback, right? Because, you know, Mahomes wins a bunch of rings and, you know, Josh Allen's there. And Joe Burrow made a Super Bowl and Stafford won a Super Bowl. And it always just feels like reductionist where people are like, well, who's the best quarterback and who's the best head coach? You know, if we're looking at the Eagles here, they don't have the best quarterback left in the playoffs. In fact, I'd rank him fourth out of fourth, and that's no disrespect to Jalen Hurts. I think he's a good quarterback, but like we're dealing with some pretty heavy hitters here in the final four. And Nick Sirianni is also ranked four out of four in head coaches that are left. And so people don't really take them as seriously as they should, despite the fact that if we're just looking roster here, like the work that Howie Roseman's done, they have the best everything else, right? So this weekend, I think, is going to be a really interesting case study for what matters the most here, roster or quarterback and head coach.
A couple more things for you before we get you out of here. Brett Coleman is continuing to join us. When it was rumored that it was likely that Aaron Glenn was going to become the head coach of the New York Jets, you tweeted out that you really liked that hire. What do you like about Glenn and this potential fit in New York with the Jets?
Well, for one, I think he's a great developer of talent. And we saw that when, you know, even back when he was a position coach in New Orleans. I think he's an excellent developer of talent. He actually started his career as a scout for a couple years. So I think he kind of has a good understanding of what he likes in a player. So I think he's going to be, going to have a nice kind of handshake, so to speak, between himself and the front office, because he used to work on that side of the ball, after his playing career was over. And I think if you're looking at just him as a coach, you know, he kind of the work that he did with that Lions defense with all those injuries, I really think it was remarkable, because they lost so many guys and he still cooked up the best possible defense he could. You know, he lost his best player a month and a half into the year, and you know, they still went on a massive run where it wasn't just, oh, it's a 40-35 game every single week because the offense is so good. Like, they had dominant defensive performances there, you know, with your best player all of a sudden being Aleem McNeil. So I think his ability to develop talent, his ability to kind of change on the fly based on which talent is available to him when guys get hurt, you know, the fact that he's a great leader, he's a former player, so he's going to connect to players really well. Like, I just think it's a home run hire. I really don't think the Jets could have done better here. I'm really curious to see what kind of staff he fills out underneath him, but I really do love this hire.
The Jaguars are a mess right now. When they made the coaching change, they were asked about their general manager and Trent Baalke, whether or not they were going to keep him around. They said it would be suicide if they were to have a complete turnover. And now, after Liam Cohen decides not to even engage with them on another interview, they make the change of general manager. I mean, can it get any worse than what it is right now for the Jaguars?
I mean, it's just been this way for years at this point, right? I just can't believe that Trent Baalke got another GM job to begin with. Like, after everything that happened in San Francisco, I could not believe that he got another shot. And not only did he get another shot in Jacksonville, he got three shots in Jacksonville, honestly. Three shots that he shouldn't have gotten. And it was very clear, you know, during during the season that Trent Baalke had built a really, really poor roster overall. He had done a terrible job as far as, hitting on a lot of draft picks, managing their cap situations. Like, I just looked at that Jags team and I said, this is 2 years away from being even a playoff team, let alone a contending team, right? And that's Trent Baalke's fault. And for them to go into the offseason and say, oh, no, we're going to retain him, you know, this guy that's known for getting coaches fired, we're going to retain him. Like, how could they possibly have an expectation that anybody serious would want that job? I'm just beside myself for the thought process there. Like, who in their right mind would want that job? And the fact that they, you know, basically just got a hard no from Ben Johnson from the start. You know, they got a hard no from Leon Cohen. Like, and this is like the third year that's happened, right? Like, how often do you have to have people around the league tell you, no, we're not going to work with Trent Baalke before you get rid of him? Apparently, 3 years. So it's kind of their own fault, right? It's absolutely their own fault. Jags fans don't deserve it. Jags fans don't deserve this kind of incompetence at the top, but they're stuck with it. And I really do feel for him.
Brett Coleman does an amazing job analyzing the NFL. You can follow him on Twitter at Brett Coleman, K-O-L-L-M-A-N-N. Brett, we really appreciate you taking some time with us. Enjoy the weekend, and hopefully we can catch up again moving forward.
Thanks for having me.
Awesome. Brett Coleman joining us here on the program. We will take one more break. We'll come back, have you for just a couple more minutes, and then we'll hand things off to Bob Ramsey and Earl Austin Jr. They've got Billikens basketball tonight over at Chaffetz Arena as they are going to match up against LaSalle. We're back with more in just a moment here on KMOX.